Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, I'm Johnny Owen, and this is the Best 11 podcast from TalkSport. Mark Webster and I ask our guests 11 questions all about their love of football, from their earliest memories of the game to how their matchday rituals have changed over the years. And at the end, they'll tell us their best 11, a team made up of anyone who's ever played for their club, along with a manager of their choice. Will they pick a cult hero from the past to lead the line, or will they go for a young whippersnapper from the modern era? It's totally up to them, because it's their best 11.
This is the Best 11 podcast from TalkSport.
Before we hear Martin Compston's best 11, it's worth letting you know that this was recorded from our homes during the first lockdown in March 2020, when Celtic had recently won their 9th title in a row. So whilst this season probably isn't Martin's favourite topic of conversation, the reason we don't mention it is purely because it hadn't happened yet. It's just a bit of a disclaimer. Enjoy the podcast.
Our guest today is an actor who starred in Sweet 16, The Wee Man, Monarch of the Glen and The Nest. But he's perhaps best known for playing Detective Sergeant Steve Arnott in Line of Duty. He's also a great mate of mine. It's the brilliant Martin Compston. Martin, welcome to your best 11. Can you tell us who you support and why?
You know very well who my team is, Johnny Boy. My team is the famous Glasgow Celtic. You pick who your dad picks, don't you? That's just for everybody. Who your dad supports, your granddad supports, your brother supports. But for better or worse, in the west of Scotland, religion does become a big part of who you support. You know, it kind of, you can really tell who anybody supports by what primary school they go to or what high school they go to. And then just through that, you know, most of your pals are Celtic fans. And I mean, obviously, it's, you cannot, everybody grows up and everybody's mixed to a certain extent stuff. And it kind of calmed down. It seemed to have got wild for a while because it can be a really ugly side to it at times. You know, the sectarianism and stuff. And that's not something people should have to put up with, and especially in this day and age. As I say, for better or worse, it's part of our culture at the minute. It's also the reason why it's one of the fiercest, if not the fiercest, rivalry in the world, you know, because it's in our blood.
Yeah, it's the best derby in the world, I think. Best I've been to, anyway.
The Cardiff one's not bad, but Well, that's the thing is, I was thinking that the other day. I was watching, with English derbies, you kind of, I would probably only say, in England, you would maybe say, there's obviously the Millwall West Ham and the Birmingham Aston Villa. And maybe I'm wrong, maybe Spurs and Arsenal, but there doesn't seem to be, some of the derbies, I mean, they're fierce to an extent, but there doesn't seem to be that, I mean, you look like at Liverpool and Everton, and there's not that hatred, you know, that sort of, I mean, it's some extent it's bio, when I say, and some extent it goes way over the top and horrific, but there's not that. I went to a Liverpool-Everton semi-final, and it was a great watch at Wembley, brilliant watch, a really good atmosphere, but I was in the stadium, I was like, I've been to a Celtic Rangers stadium, and you just feel a semi-final, you feel like everything's on the line. You know, you don't want to even contemplate getting beat just because what the repercussions are going to be. And so just in terms of, we don't have, obviously, probably the quality of the derbies down south, but we more than make up for that, the passion that's involved.
And let's be honest as well, the quantity. You play each other every fortnight, so it's amazing how you keep that passion going, I think, Martin.
I think that's got a lot to do with the TV companies, because everybody wants to watch the game, and So I think every time there's a TV contract comes up, I think that's part of the stipulation. I mean, part of me would like to keep it to two every year, but I mean, yeah, because at times, I think just a couple of years ago, and I think we got each other both cups and a cup replay, so we ended up playing each other like seven times. But then also with Rangers, I think with Rangers going away for a few years there, didn't get each other in the cup for a few years either. So there was, I think, that sort of whetted the appetite again that we hadn't played each other in a long time. And then obviously Rangers on the way back up. It's as fierce as it's ever been at the minute.
It's funny, Martin. John Robertson, who's a good mate of mine, he was Martin O'Neill's assistant. I was remember saying to me, it's too much the old firm. He said, I never enjoyed any of them. He said, if you won, of course, the end, the relief was amazing. But he said, the build-up, he said, is so intense. Mm. He said, I'd be lying if I say I ever enjoyed any of them.
No, mate, it is. That's what it is. It's sheer relief. I mean, the build-up is amazing. The aftermath is amazing. But the games to watch are horrific at times. You know, without rubbing it in, there was a few years there where we were giving Rangers a few spankings, you know, and, you know, especially under Brendan Rodgers and stuff. And it didn't look like we were ever going to lose a game against them again. Obviously, that's changed a bit. But, yeah, so, I mean, that time, believe me, I know they were really enjoyable because you were going into the game, like, completely 100% confident. Whereas back in the day, you could never tell with a Celtic Rangers game because you could go back and a lot of the times I'd go to the game and go, think, we're going to scud them today and get beat. And I don't forget one of the best ones I ever went to was the New Year Derby and we were at Ibrox. I think we went with quite a patched up team and you were kind of half expecting a doing and Big Samaras ran riot that day. So you could never, it's kind of got that element back to it of the unknown, whereas for a few years there, I mean, I think we went to Ibrox and took five off them. You know, we were just completely dominant.
Martin, could you tell me what your first... You're a good footballer. I know this. I've played with you. Excellent footballer. Can you tell me your first football memories?
One of my first, I've got a very vivid memory of... Greenock Morton, where I'm from. Morton's local team, where I'm from in Greenock. And I remember, I must have been about 5 or 6. And my brother, I think he was at a game, it was a school day out or something. And me and my mum went to pick him up. And you know the way they opened the gates at the end of the game, the last minute, to let everybody kind of flood out?
Yeah.
And I remember these gates opening, me and my mum standing outside. And I mean, standing at those doors now, I mean, they don't look that big. But at that age, and then just hearing all this incredible noise and all these men in Morton, in those days would have had a big support. I still got a great wee following, Morton, but then would have been a really good support. I don't know if it was a big game, but I just remember the noise coming from inside and then these gates opened and then all these men streaming out. And, you know, it was just sort of like this pantheon. it's something that's always stayed with me. That's probably my youngest memory. My first game was probably a couple of years later. I was lucky and I was unlucky to go in the old jungle. The famous jungle at Celtic Park when it was when it was a standing ground. But my first, I can't remember. I got to two games, and we drew one each with Motherwell, and lost 1-0 to Dundee United, or the other way around. And I was called a Jonah, which in Scotland means you're a jinx.
Yeah.
And I was and I was banned, so I didn't get back to a game for a long time. And I remember looking back, because even then, as a young, it must have been 8 or 9, and I remember them going, it's your fault. And I remember thinking, maybe it's that we've got Carol Muggleton in goal, more than that I'm unlucky. You know, we had a pretty shocking team back then.
Oh, I had to pass in the back there, Cobson. Come on, mate, it was obviously you.
Yeah. And I'll take the ban. I took it well, though, and eventually I got back.
Who was your favourite player as a kid, Martin?
Oh, Paul McStay, mate. Yeah. Paul McStay, without a doubt. I mean,
player.
Just who's class, and he's one of those, he was a true Celtic man. He could have left us. I mean, I remember there was talk at the time of Juventus and stuff. I mean, he could have played at a far higher level than what we were at the time. But just an incredible player. What a range of passing. Scored some magnificent goals for Celtic and Scotland. And he just sort of typified what Celtic were about. And one of my there's two times where, I mean, nobody's bigger than the club. That's something, like, I think that everybody has to kind of remember about in terms of players and stuff. But there's two times, sort of throughout following Celtic all the years, where I thought that player didn't, like, in terms of losing as a team, but we lost the cup final to Raith Rovers, and Paul McStay was the captain, and we hadn't won a trophy in how many years at that time. And it was like the biggest thing ever at the time for a young fan like me, because I had never properly seen us win a trophy, and we lost on penalties, and he was the captain and missed the penalty. And I remember thinking the way he played that night, the way he played the whole season, he did not deserve that. He didn't deserve it. And there was a similar feeling when Henrik scored two in the UEFA Cup final. And I remember looking at him going, he did not deserve to be on the losing side there tonight. But yeah, growing up, and I was very lucky to play, and there was like a charity. I do quite a bit with the Celtic Foundation, the charity arm of the club, and there was a, I think they called it the Maestrio, because that's what we called McStay at Celtic. We called him the Maestro, and there was a sort of a charity match between a Paul McStay select and a Rio Ferdinand select, because apparently he's a big hero of Rio Ferdinand. Ferdinand used to love the way he played. So to play there and play alongside the great man, and I was having breakfast at the hotel the next morning, and he just happened to come down, and I was lucky enough we sat and had an hour odd just catching up and chatting and talking through. And when we finally, later than that year, I think we beat, I mean, that's to show how far we've came as a club. Later than that, in that year, 95, we beat Airdrie in the cup final 1-0. And that was the biggest thing that ever happened to me as a Celtic fan, to beat Airdrie in a cup final. It was because I'd never seen, from my age when I was born, seen tangible success.
Can I just ask you quickly? You mentioned obviously they're playing a bit. Can we nip back there? Because you turned out for Greenock, didn't you, a couple of times? Did were you playing with David Hopkin at the time, or for David Hopkin, who's obviously stuff a legend?
David would have been a few years before me. I remember I'd have watched them a few, because I was with Morton on and off. I did a couple of years with Aberdeen. I was with Morton when then signed with Aberdeen, and I went back to Morton. So I was there on and off, 10 years as a boys club, youth team, reserve, first team. So, I mean, I was there every other week, in the stands and all that kind of thing. You'd need to be there. So saw some great teams, with great players over the years, Alan McGraw is the greatest, but, Davy Hopkin and Derek McInnes, some top, top players. If you not know him, but the old Viking, Raja Mackey, what a player he was.
What were your matchday rituals then, Martin? I mean, either with Morton or Celtic. I know you played quite a lot as well.
Well, one of my vivid memories, there's a huge Celtic supporters club in Greenock, and we used to travel from there. And my big memories when I was a boy was my dad being inside, sinking a few pipes, and all the young boys, all the boys who would go with dad, we'd be outside with a bag of chips, sitting on the stairs waiting on your dads to sit and finish their beer and come out and get us. And then it was mad when you think you're the wee boys sitting on, we weren't allowed in the pub to be in the guys in the pub, it's mad how time flies,
And of course, I'm going to assume that he's drinking and the other dad's drinking. It was split second timing to make sure you get that last pint. You don't need to be at the ground too early, do you?
Well, we have to. That always annoyed me at some time. It wasn't so much getting there too early, because from Greenock door to door to Parkhead's probably 40 minutes, 45 minutes. So you would always want to beat the traffic. But I never get my head around this with people. Look, sometimes people, I'm not like one of these kind of time watching kind of things where if somebody's got to go, they've got to go. But I never understand people leaving 10 minutes, 5 minutes before the end of the game, especially when there's times where it's like 1-0, one each. It drives me up the wall. And at times I'm going, I want something just to happen just so you missed it.
Oh, and you're and hard.
What used to drive me mental as well was you'd go, let's go, let's go, let's score. Like when you were young and you didn't really have much say in it. And then you'd go and sit in a bus for an hour, stuck in traffic. You're like, what was the point? And that genuinely, there was one I'll never, ever forgive. I can't remember her name, the lovely woman that it was, but my first Celtic Rangers game, tickets were gold dust, absolute gold dust. And so a lot of times you would just go down to the club and see if there was any going, you know, in terms of like, there was one going, so my dad could get one, but I couldn't go, he wouldn't let me go on my own, but if we'll go down, if we can get another one, I'll go with somebody, all that kind of thing. Like a ticket turned up and it was beside one of the ladies in the club. And she made us leave and we were getting beat 1-0. And it was a famous Alan Stubb scored, and we scored in the 93rd minute. This incredible header. And you just heard the stadium inside erupting. And you're walking down the street and you're like, why are we out here? And I've never
you're emotionally scarred by that, I can tell.
Because you can still go back. It's one of the great goals. Because I think people say, I think, was it the year we, it might have been the year we stopped 10 in a row. So it was a massive goal. And it was my first game. And I said we were getting beat most of the game to come back. Imagine your first game, the first derby, and to get a 93rd minute equaliser. It would have been something else. So I've never forgot that.
No.
Wim Janssen. Was Wim Janssen the manager, wasn't it?
Aye. Wim and Murdo McLeod, his assistant. They stopped. They were the 10.
My mate from Glasgow, who's a massive Celtic fan I've known since I was a kid, he rang me that when he went in the early hours. And my daughter, and he'd just born, walking up, drunk as a boot. My ex-wife at the time. Yeah. Who's on the phone? I don't know. So something happened to ring it. I was a bit dizzy from Glasgow singing on the phone to me.
That's the thing, Johnny. It's the thing, we go back to talking about that rivalry. I mean, I'd only have been about 13 then. And the sense of relief that we'd stopped it was huge. And you could feel like a whole weight had been lifted off all your family, all your friends. Because, I mean, we'd done the 9 in the 60s and 70s, and to lose that, and at that point thinking, if they get 10, what else are they going to get? And the position we were in, there was no way we were going to chase down 10 at that time, you know? So the relief at stopping that, even at such a young age, was something you were very aware of.
And now, Martin, obviously you're one of the most well-known Celtic fans in the world, up there with Rod Stewart and Billy Connolly. But, you know, you're fairly well-known by the
Holy club. Trinity.
I know you're well looked after up there now, and you're involved with the club behind the scenes and in hospitality. What are your match day rituals like now?
Depends, Johnny. It depends where I'm in the world. So, like, a lot of times I'm basically flying in for the game. But I do like a pint before the games and a proper catch-up with the boys. So it just depends whether we're going straight from Greenock on a bus, or even if it's a away game. Or sometimes it's good to get a couple of pints in Glasgow and then fire over. But the problem is, even with it's like with the Scottish weather, if you can be in Glasgow and it'll be absolutely teeming down with rain, and then trying to get a taxi over is an absolute nightmare. You don't want to be late. So basically, because I'm on the road so much, mainly I try to use it as a time to catch up with the lads if I can before it. I says, we've got a few season tickets together, me and my pals, and it's a good thing for keeping us all in touch. So if I'm getting back, then I'll mainly try and meet up with the lads beforehand, just to have a bit of a catch up.
This is the Best 11 podcast from TalkSport.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Have you got like a favourite piece of memorabilia or a memento or something you wear?
I've got a few crackers actually. I picked up one last year. I played in a charity game and I've got Brownie's match worn shirt and his own blood. But yeah, he'd had a few drinks the night before and he volleyed the ball off his own face.
Twice.
And then we got in at half time and I was laughing and he kind of threw the top down. He's a top lad, Bruni, by the way. He really is. I know he's got this death stare and can be a high game, but he is a right laugh and he'll do any, the amount of stuff he does off the field for people is amazing. But he just chucked that top down and I went, well, I'm having that. Another great one was one of the best game I've probably ever been to was the 2-1 Barcelona night, was our 125th anniversary night as well. And you just had a feeling there was something special in the air. And I mean, it was like the Alamo for a lot of that game. Fraser Forster was absolutely unbelievable. But just anything that could go for us went. Big Wanyama scoring, and then you think, oh, brilliant, we've got a goal to celebrate. All of a sudden, you're in at half-time, so you're like, this is a lot of fun, singing at half-time. And then they just couldn't get through. And then I think it was Xavi, it slipped, and young Tony Watt just barreled them through. And I remember just looking at it going, he can't. And the coolness of the finish for that boy at that age, then it was just sheer pandemonium. And then there was only like 6 or 7 minutes, but you still thought, we were 2-0 up with like 5 minutes left, and what you're thinking is, we might get a draw out of this. Because they were so good. And then I think Messi scored in like the 92nd, 93rd minute, and you're thinking, oh no, but we just sort of held on. But that night I was over by the Barca fans, and we were going wild that night, and it was, you could see them just watching us, because it was a special night for the club as well, you know, just the anniversary. So the atmosphere was off the charts.
They knew they were in a proper game, didn't they, Martin? That's for sure.
They did. It was a massive game as well, because it wasn't just like, we needed that game to get through, you know, to get to the knockout stages. And at the end of the game, the Barca fans were shouting, swap scarves. And I walked over to give one of my scarves, and he pulled this thing out of his jacket, and it was like the flag they put horizontal-wise across the whole support? So yeah, I got like this 30-foot Catalonian flag sort of shoved down my jacket. So me and my brother carried that back to the bus. So I've got that in the house somewhere.
What do you mean somewhere? How can you lose a 30-foot flag?
It's in a loft. Because my mum, it was in my room for a long time. My mum says, get that out of my face, because there's no room for anything else. So it was in my loft. But my most prized possession sort of any of that kind of stuff I've got is, do you remember Trans World Sport?
Yeah.
Remember that back in the day? They did like a thing on me, a segment on me, like, because I was playing semi-pro at the time, and it was like, just like an interview and for me about, and I got on really well with the guy. And so a lot of people don't remember this, but the 1970 Celtic were in the 1970 European Cup final as well, you know, right. And we went in against Feyenoord, and we went into that game favourites, actually.
Yeah.
And obviously we got beat, but there was like a reunion of the Feyenoord team, and sadly it was only Bobby Murdoch that passed away, but I got on really well with the guy at Trans World Sport, and he said to me, look, if you got, like, I can buy you like a replica 67 shirt, and I'll get the team to sign it. So I have a replica Lisbon Lions top signed by all the players. You know, Jinky, Bill and Neil, all of that. So that really is, you know, Chalmers and Lennox. That's probably my most prized possession.
Special.
Yeah, really that's history. And have you got a favourite player now?
Well, I would need to say, I'd need to say Bruni, just in that, other than McNeil, Bruni, not just because I'll get the death stare, but he'll go down right now as our once he's seen his career's done and having to look back on, he'll go down as our second greatest ever captain. You know, the treble, the invincible season, 9 titles in a row, what he's achieved. And every time, every year, everybody says his legs have gone. This will be his last year. And every year, he just keeps on motoring. Some of his performances in Europe, he's a proper living legend. And also, I'd give a young McGregor's having a his development into a great player, but Edward as well. There's a couple of players you see playing for us, you know, the likes of Van Dijk and Dembele out in Lyon will go bigger, but Eddie will go to a far higher level. At some point, Eddie will be playing at top level.
Scott Brown's one of those classic players that you love to have in your team and you'd hate in everybody else's.
Absolutely. But the thing is with Bruni, though, he thrives on that.
Oh, yeah.
I think he feeds. You can tell, like, he feeds off. If he isn't getting booed, he's not doing his job.
He's not happy.
Yeah, he absolutely feeds off that.
That's brilliant. Martin, you've got one of the most famous kits in football. But have you got a particular favourite from any season?
Yeah, I mean, there was one. One of the famous ones is for the hoops. I do love the hoops. I mean, everybody loves their own top, but it does. It's really iconic. I think a lot of people like the 88 season, the centenary year. Got that somewhere? But I
remember
think,
it with the badge, the original badge, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's it. But the one that kind of stands out when I was young was the bumblebee top. Yeah. Do you remember that? The alumi yellow and black away one. Yeah. There's been a couple of incarnations since, but the original one, because it just came out of nowhere, you know, and it was just, it was so iconic. And said, then you had Henrik running about at the time with those dreadlocks banging them in. Yeah. So I'd probably say because the hoops are the hoops, you know, it's a variation of every year. Some are better than the other, but still this, it's still the sort of the same thing. That the original bumblebee is one I can always remember. All me and my mates running about, like, we all had the full kit on. It was that kind of age, you know, the socks and shorts running about the park. Yeah, so that was a special memory.
Liked it. Yeah, it's very colourful. Like
nice.
It.
Nice. Martin, have we got like, it's quite interesting. Everybody in England has got Scottish teams except Mark. have you got a second team either up there or in England?
There's teams I prefer watching more than others for sure. I was filming in Manchester last year. And bizarrely, and that's one of the great things as well. But I mean, I'm sure a lot of the big clubs have this. But being a Celtic fan, I'm obviously on the road quite a much. But pretty much every city I've ever been to, there'll be a Celtic supporters club. And it's a great that you get in there and you can watch a game. And within just you'll rock up the bar, buy a beer, and you'll have new mates within 5 minutes to watch the game. And I was in Manchester last year watching a Celtic game. And this lad came up, and we started chatting, and his message came up, it was lovely, and his message was actually worked for Man City, and she invited us to the game the following week, which was it was Man City Spurs this season. I think it was 2-2. Then Spurs, Man City got a late VAR goal disallowed, but because you weren't invested much to sit back and watch Kevin De Bruyne just play up close was a real treat. I mean, the range. That man's passing, just the pure grace with which he plays the game was something special. I mean, so as I say, there's definitely teams I prefer watching more, and as a football fan, I'll watch just about anything going, but in terms of support, all I care about is Celtic.
Brilliant. Right, Martin, it's everybody's favourite bit now. Take us through your best ever Celtic 11.
Well, Mike, there's a couple, there'll be an honour in the mentions, but Like Fraser Foster, been absolutely outstanding. But for me, it'll be Arthur Boric, the holy goalie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because a phenomenal talent. Again, probably had a good career, but probably should have played at a higher level. But from everything you hear, he's just a screwball. And I love that.
Goalkeeper.
I love
Catholic. Goalkeepers, exactly, John.
But even like people like, you know, like Balotelli and all that kind of thing. I love characters.
Why
I love
not?
Players with a bit of attitude. I remember Boric, he saved some incredible saves, but some big, big penalties. I think it was the night we beat, I can't remember who hit it, it might have been Louis Saha, but the night we beat Man United in the Champions League 1-0 with that incredible. They got a penalty after that. And people forget this, Boric to go 1-1, and Boric saved it. And that's one of our most famous results. And then I think next year, I think Spartak Moscow, the penalty shootout to get in the Champions League. It was amazing. So, phenomenal talent, big, big saves at big in big games. But just, right. I remember as well one game, and we got hammered. I remember we were away at Ibrox and Rangers hammered us 3-0. And it's pretty miserable, you know, when you're behind the goal. And I can't remember what happened, but one, a player was down injured and he was taking a bit of stick, and he was right in front of like the Celtic end, and he was taking a bit of stick, and then he just started making some gestures, so shall we say, back towards the Rangers fans. And it just was brilliant, you know, just the hilarity of it. And it just, from being down 3-0 hammered, all of a sudden everybody had a smile back in their face. And everybody was singing again. And it was just that kind of thing. I remember him well running on Ibrox with a Celtic flag. You know, he's that geezer.
Oh, dear.
What's the defence, Matt? Are you going right back, left back first?
Yeah, I'll go right back first. I mean, you might be able to help me, because I, again, might need to be honourable mention, because everything I hear about Danny McGrain, everybody says he was world class.
Oh, yeah.
World class.
Proper two halves fullback, which was unusual in those days.
But I never saw much of him, so I couldn't. For me at the minute, Jackie McNamara would be another shout, but Mikael Lustig,
yeah.
I would put in just because he, brilliant servant over the last few years. Again, played some big, big games, but another, just a character. But he's played that big part in what's been the sort of defining era of my, either the Martin O'Neill kind of period or what's going on now, and he was a big, big part of that. Centre halves, it's a no-bad pairing. I'm going to go Caesar, the great Billy McNeil. You know, I mean, iconic, the greatest club captain we've ever had. Captain the first British team to win the European Cup, Trailblazers, nine in a row team, and just a giant of a man. And beside him, we'll stick in big Virgil van Dijk.
Yeah, fair dues. No.
That's not a bad pairing, is it?
He's come on all right, isn't he?
But he's done all right. Again, I think it's when, and you can maybe understand why sometimes people look down in our game, but like you're looking at him playing, and you're looking at him playing for us in Europe, and you're thinking the ability this guy has is frightening. And to think he's going to Southampton, and you're thinking somebody in a couple of years is going to be paying over the odds for him again. I mean, somebody could have snapped him up for 30, 40 million. Southampton get, like, you know, I don't know, an Arsenal or something. And then you got Liverpool paying 75 for him. Mm. And he was worth that, probably.
True, right, yeah.
It's just unfortunately with our game. But I think something's changed in that, where I think Celtic were maybe a bit, were probably boxing clever, because we'd have a decent fee, but we always had a big selling fee. But I think the days of, you know, Tierney, Dembele, and next Edward leaving us on cheap, those days are over, because Van Dijk leaving us for 12 million was a joke.
Yeah, it's true.
Left back, yes. I'll go for the man I just mentioned, actually. Kieran Tierney.
Tierney, yes. Superb.
Yeah.
Superb player. Boys Celtic through and through. Again, potentially has already shown it, you know, in some huge games. I remember the Man City 3-each game in the Champions League at Celtic Park. It was outstanding that night. I mean, it's typical Scotland. I mean, we struggle for any sort of world-class players, and then you've got two of them are left-backs, you know, and Robertson and Tierney. But I think the boy, if he fulfills his potential, would be one of the best in the world. I'm going to go, you can look at it either way, in a tactical point of view, it'd be 4-5-1 or 4-3-3. I'd say more a 4-3-3.
Okay.
So I'll put Bruni in there, legend, club captain. Beside him, another man I've spoke about, the maestro, Paul McStay.
Yeah.
And my last slot there would go, it would have been a toss-up between Lambert and Lennon, just because I that's the bit, the holding midfielder was the position I played. So they were two guys I always watched and loved. And obviously what Lenny's doing now, I mean, he's another one, he'll go down as a club legend for what he's achieved as a player and a manager. But I'd probably stick Lambert in, just because as a young Scottish guy, watching him win the European Cup with Dortmund and the job he'd done man-marking Zidane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, he was man-marking Zidane, and Zidane never got a kick, you know.
No.
He was great in a Scotland shirt as well, wasn't he? He's just, you know, he was international class.
He was class.
John Collins, fantastic.
Yeah, good shout.
So Lambert, just again, just what he achieved also outside Celtic. But again, phenomenal server, part of the team that stopped 10 in a row. So I'd stick Lambo in there. So sort of top three. I go the Lord of the Wing, Jinky, Jimmy Johnston. One of the greatest players simply who's ever played the game. One of my best memories is when I was young watching videos of Jinky with my granda, watching all the old games. And there's one, I think it's the Real Madrid, Di Stefano. Di Stefano's testimonial, he asked Celtic to play them. And Johnston that night was just sensational, I know, and ripping all these legends apart. And there's one point where he just keeps running rings around these three or four players and he stands on the ball. And three of them stand looking at them. And they go, you go. And none of them will come near him. And this goes on for like 6-7 seconds. And then kind of two of them run and he just flicks the ball over their head. And it's just the audacity of it. And again, just another character. But I mean, he was voted our greatest ever player for a reason, you know.
Yeah, there was him and George Best, you know, at the similar time. And just, you've never seen nothing like it. That's true.
Just the way... The game's changed as well, but you see some of the tackles that they were coming in like waist high. You know, he was getting karate kicked, and he just got up.
They could
ride
the
ball.
Yeah.
Well, he'd get the ball and he'd run straight back at whoever hit him.
Yeah.
You know, the bravery of him, and I think you'd need to slot in there beside him, King Kenny. You know,
yeah, quite right.
Probably the greatest, between him and Jinky, I'd say for the greatest ever Scottish player. Again, what he achieved in the game, but again, the talent he had in a Celtic shirt, and obviously the esteem he's held throughout the game, that'd be a pretty lethal pairing behind the king, the messiah, Henrik Larsson.
Yes.
Larsson.
Yeah, Henrik up front.
You've got some pace and guile in your front three there, haven't you? Pace and guile.
But what a front three that is. What a front
But what
three.
Henrik as well, what I loved about Henrik is, again, the loyalty he had to us, and we got the best out of it. And then he left us to go on and win the European Cup with Barcelona. And he changed that game when he came on. It's two lethal passes from Henrik that's won that game when they beat Arsenal. And to think he's left us to go on and achieve that when I thought we'd like maybe he'd be on the downward spiral just shows you that he's probably... You had Van Dijk there, but we had a world-class player at the top of his game playing for us, you know, during one of my eras. And that is something special. And it's something I'll be very thankful for him for staying.
Martin, I'm now going to ask you probably the most stupid question you can ever ask
yourself. Yeah, this will take a while.
This is ridiculous. So who do you have to manage?
There's got to be the one. The great man, Jock Steen.
Yeah, fair dues.
Again, one of the greatest managers he's ever lived, trailblazer.
A good argument for being the greatest ever, Martin, for a lot of people.
Yes, absolutely. For what he achieved and probably, again, I think these things, it's these small margins. If he'd have won that second European Cup, I'd have said he would. Johnny, and he wasn't far off it, but to take a team that he did, and you had, I mean, there's some ridiculous stat, I don't know, but I think it's like, all the players in that European Cup final team are born within 30 miles. Yes,
possibly even less than that. You're right. Yeah.
And the game, when you look at, I mean, I've watched that Inter Milan game back, the final, a few times, and the way they did it, the style they did it.
Oh.
And also because I remember having thankfully I still got the part because I thought when I walked out, that was my chances. Gub that when I auditioned for the Dan United. Yeah, so I auditioned for the Damned United, and I remember the director saying to me, what you need to remember, Martin, is you're auditioned to be part of the greatest football team of that era. And I went, no. Celtic were the greatest bad team. Because as you remember, we put you out the European Cup semi-final.
It did.
And mammoth game.
It didn't matter, Martin. It didn't matter at that point. It did matter, didn't it?
Well, I mean, you look back at that Battle of Britain, got the great Billy Bremner and all that. There was 130,000 in these games, and we won both of them. You know, it wasn't even as if we won both those games, and we managed to do what that team never did and won the European Cup. And then, of course, Johnny, your other side, that great Forest team, came not long after. But no, of that era, I'd say we were by far the best team in Britain, and possibly in Europe.
I love that. Not prepared to suspend reality for 2 seconds to get a decent job. I admire that.
The thing is, he is talking a lot of sense. I mean, Sir Alex Ferguson summed it up for me. Somebody said to him, what's the greatest achievement in domestic football? And he went, it was Jock Stein winning the European Cup with a Glasgow District 11.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, and it's the way Jock Stein done it, the way his teams did it. We didn't go on kicking people and fighting people in terms of, I mean, I'm sure a few of these boys could handle themselves, they could handle a tackle, but we did it playing football, you know?
Playing the right way. Martin Comston.
Ma, brilliant.
Fantastic guest for Best 11. Thank you very much for joining us.
Cheers, thanks, lads. Bye. All the best. Bye.
This is the Best 11 podcast from TalkSport.
Thank you for listening to the Best 11 podcast. Don't forget there are new episodes out every Monday and Thursday. So join us for more football memories and another Best 11 very soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.